to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Yeah, you heard that right, everybody. That was,
Princess Cory.
Don't patronize me.
Wow.
It is day two of our E3 Los Angeles adventure, and we're just going to go old school today, tonight.
Today. Wow, you ready?
Are
you
making words? Yeah, why not? Joining me is, you know him, you might like him.
You love him, that's why.
Aaron Carter.
What's up, everybody? Today was the best day, I say.
It was a very great day.
It was the best day.
It was the best day of my life.
This was a good one.
Let's see. Why is it just two of us, you ask? Because everybody else is at awesome E3 parties, and Aaron and I are not.
We got bumped off the list.
We got bumped off the list at the first place, which is unfortunate. And then we just got our feelings hurt and decided to go to the hotel room.
Okay, ladies of LA, you're beautiful. You know, blonde, tall, all that.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
But the lady that gave us the kick out, she didn't even try to pretend like she was sad for us. It was kind of just like, you're not even on the list here.
That's how it is in L.A.
Wow.
That's how they do it.
Wow, see, that's why the Northern California women will always have my heart.
But hey, what else can I say? I love L.A. And over and above all, it's just another day. And this one begins where the last one ends. Another episode of the Video Game Bang E3 follow-up. Let's see. A lot of stuff. Today was actually awesome for me because I got to focus on, what do you know, video games. And Aaron, we got to work together on a few of them.
Yeah, we did. I got to sneak into a little bit of some of the press events and, represent Nerd Reactor.
But first, nerdreactor.com. While you're here, check out all the articles. More will be coming when we get home. We're going to start writing more articles. Get going more in depth with some of the things we'll talk about here today. A lot of great writers are also at E3 doing their thing. Chris Del Castillo, shout out, guys working hard, got a lot of solid E3 articles. You're doing yourself a mistreatment favor if you're not reading these. Let's see, what else business? If you want to go buy a VGB shirt that we were rocking all day today, you can get those on nerdreactor.com under the store tab. And we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, all the different podcast things, and even the Zune Marketplace. So now that we got the business out of the way, let's get to what you guys all came for, and that's E3 news. Let's see. How did the day start?
You want me to go first, or you? Because I haven't heard yours.
We haven't briefed on this? Debriefed?
No.
We've been in the hotel room together?
I got some of the, the text messages that you sent while I was doing all this stuff.
But those were my notes.
Yeah, because I'll go. So we get out of the hotel and we get there to E3, ready for day two and everything like that. We both had meetings right in the morning, right?
Yeah, right out the jump.
Right, 10 in the morning. Mine was with Sony Online, but it wasn't at E3. It was at a hotel about 10 blocks up the street. So our editor-in-chief, John Nguyen, says, hey, go catch the shuttle, and you'll get up there and make it in time. Just get there at about 9:30. It doesn't take long to get up there. It's only 10 blocks up the street. So I go to the shuttle, and they ask me, hey, do you have a wristband? Like, I don't need no stinking wristbands.
Wristband, I'm media.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Aaron Carter.
Did you see my badge?
And then I was like, so where do I get these wristbands from? And he pointed me over to a sign where it said, shuttle information. So I went over there, and the lady was like, so that'll be $75. And I said, have you lost your mind? And she was like, are you staying at the hotel? And I was like, no, I'm not staying. I'm going over there for an interview and, just to learn some stuff about Sony and so forth. She's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, it's only up the street, like, you know, 10 minutes up the street.
Why don't you just walk?
Yeah, why don't you just walk? And I was like, yeah, you know what? All right. Yeah, you're making a lot of sense. I'm not paying $75 for something I can walk to. I live in Sacramento. We walk a lot of places.
Yeah.
So I go and I start to walk. And the shuttle guy, he stops me. He's like, did you get the wristband? And I was like, no, man. It was like $75. I'm not doing it. And he's like, I'd give you a ride up there. You know, it's no problem. You just walk on the bus.
Oh.
And then I was like, no, she just said I can walk. You know, it's not far up the street. You know, she said it's like 10 minutes up the street. So I'm like, oh, that's fine. There's not a problem with me. I'll make it in time for the meeting and everything. You know, it's only 9:40 right now.
The way you're simulating his voice, was he black?
Yes, he was black.
So was he just about to hook you up? If this was me, it would have been like, walk, Whitey.
I don't know. He said, you sure? And I was like, payback. Yeah, man, I got this. So I start to walk. And then I actually, as I'm walking, because it was in the Westin, the Westin Hotel. So I Google searched the hotel just to see how much, you know, how long I have to go. It says 22 minutes when I'm like, already 10 minutes into my walk.
So Google Maps doesn't walk around too much.
So Google Maps, well, no, Google Maps is correct.
It took you 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's not what that lady said. So she gave me wrong information.
Was she white?
Yes, she was.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah. We got you back.
So I'm walking, but I no lie, everybody, I really enjoyed the walk downtown through, you know, L.A. and, you know, bumping my soundtrack to Beverly Hills Cop the whole way there. No lie, that's what I was doing. And, you know, just going past, seeing the sights, the sounds, the beautiful women that just litter L.A.'s downtown area.
You know what I got to say about those beautiful L.A. women?
What is that?
Forget about it.
Wow.
Is that what they say around here?
I thought that's New York.
Yeah. Forget about it. You're on the wrong
coast. But I eventually get there to Sony, go all the way up to the top floor, to the 32nd floor. You know, I get to see a beautiful shot of L.A. And who's there to send, you know, like to show me a little bit of
magic?
Their booth?
Yeah.
Who? John Wynn.
Oh, he's already there.
Yeah, John
Wynn.
He
beat you. Yeah, who had to drive all the way back to Anaheim.
Exactly. Him and Mike. Both of them are there. And they're just sitting there eating up, you know, the fruit and the breakfast stuff that's there. And I'm like, why aren't you guys, like, playing games or talking to me? And they're just, no, I mean, we're food. So I'm like, oh, okay. All right, guys. That's cool. But we got to see three games.
Ooh.
Number one was EverQuest Next Landmark. Sorry.
Yeah, so this is the one. This is a companion.
This is the one that I was
We've done a show. You can go back in the check our archives.
Like almost a full, and I told the guy that too.
Oh, awesome!
I told him. I said we did a show. I do a podcast, and I wanted to do this whole show on MMOs, but then I found out about yours, and the show kind of just flipped to a whole show about, you know, Landmark and everything that you can do on
Landmark. For those listening, is a companion game to the forthcoming EverQuest Next. That allows you to create like bases and what else can you create?
Think of Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
but you can have actual, instead of just, you know, blocks and everything like that, you can smooth edges.
You can shape them.
Yeah, so you got circles as well, because it's a voxel-based game. The game EverQuest Next is going to be made all from voxels. Those are the blocks that everybody knows from Minecraft. But,
and what benefits that is that it makes, like, everything destructible.
Yeah, everything is intentionally destructible. And so I didn't get to see EverQuest Next. I only got to see Landmark. But the coolest thing to me there, and if I can find this while I'm trying to tell the story at the same time, is that I got to see the developer that I've been following the whole time.
Oh, okay. So if you go on YouTube, you just look up EverQuest Next, and there's a developer with a very long ponytail. And we watched like this show on YouTube, and like everything he's saying is gold, but you know, the ponytail.
The ponytail, he rocks it. His name is Dave Georgeson, and he was there. Like, this is the guy that's on the internet, and he's on, and he's telling you all about the game and everything. He's doing all the conferences. He's the face of this game. He's a producer. And he was there, and he gave me, you know, a personal, you know, tour of this game, showing me what we can do and everything like that. And I'm like, this is incredible. And he had to get rushed off because he had to go back to the show floor and, you know, do his whole thing for them out there. But, you know, I snagged a picture with him and everything like that. And, you know,
and being okay, this needs some backstory because, Aaron, we've seen some celebrities.
We have.
You know, and
we have.
Much bigger than this, than the developer here. And Aaron says, tomorrow, you know, I've had my fill of celebrities. Everyone I see, I'm going to do this Aaron Carter thing, and it's going to be awesome because I don't care about celebrities.
I don't get excited. Normally.
But then he sees this guy, Mr. Ponytail, and freaks out. And because so he's so excited. I mean, he has to text me. He comes up running. I think he ran straight from that meeting to me to show me this picture.
The guy is what he's doing and what he's a part of, to me, is legendary. Like, for video games, it is extremely new and, like, refreshing to hear. Like, there's been a
lull. Until he let you down.
And I swear, I don't see how he can. I mean, even when he was leaving, he grabbed a fistful of, you know, beta codes and was like, here you go. And I'm like, okay, this is the most.
You have a fistful of beta codes.
Fistful of beta codes.
Wow. So if you're listening to this, how many? Do you want to give one away right now?
Well, we'll give one away when they get it. Yeah, we got about 10.
Maybe the first two or three people do send us a tweet, hashtag ponytail.
Wow.
And we will get you a beta access code to EverQuest Landfall.
Landmark.
Minesweeper.
Wow. So anyway, the guy, he had to get rushed off. You know, he's the big celebrity, the face. And so they were like, you can go to this, you know, this other guy who's, you know, showing off the game to another, you know, I don't know where the guy was writing from, but whatever.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, I got to go get second fiddle guy. And so I look over once the other reporter moves, and it's Terry Michaels. It's other producer of, and I'm like, it's the other guy that was on the videos. It's like, yeah, I could talk to this dude. Let me sit down right next to him. Yeah. So I sat there literally right next to him. He got through with his whole, like, actually, we were standing there with the other the reporter there, and the other reporter was getting his notes and everything, and then he was done. So we literally heard his whole speech, and then when I sat down, he was like, you know, so, you know, you guys heard everything. Is there any questions you have? I said, could you go over it all again? And, like, knowing, like, I know everything that he said. And then he's like, yeah, sure, cool. And then he literally just went through everything again.
Did you get any good questions, any new information that you didn't know already?
I got some new stuff, yeah. Like, there are caverns and caves, which is actually something new that they just added in with the update for Landmark. And they have caves like Minecraft now, to where if you dig down, there'll be isolated caves. They don't connect to any tunnels or anything like that. Once you hit them, you'll just drop down, and you'll just be in this random cave and stuff like that.
Can you die to fall damage in that game?
Yes.
Ooh.
But they have grappling hooks. So you can actually grapple. Okay. So what they wanted to do was get a whole bunch of...
That's the theme of this year's E3.
Grappling hooks, yes, grappling was hooks everywhere. Grappling hooks is hot right now. Everywhere. It's on Far Cry. You had it on, of course, Landmark, like I just said. What else was it on?
I think it was in Tomb Raider. I guess it's been
Everybody's going to Tomb Raider, but yeah. He showed us now that they added water, which is before they didn't have it, but they're... It's like everything is slowly coming along. You know, of course, this is still beta stuff. And I asked him, I was like, okay, so this is water, but will it be able to flow like water and stuff like that? Because all you're showing me right now is I really went for those questions that are like, I want this game to disappoint me because I know it's not going to.
You really feel that strongly about it?
I really feel that strongly. And like, I recorded the whole, like, 20-minute conversation on my phone, and that's what I'm going to be listening back whenever I write articles and stuff.
And great to mention that, because we have been taking a lot of audio interviews, and so I don't know if it'll be included in this episode or maybe the recap when we get home and get more editing time, but we will release a lot of our interviews. We got to follow up with Matt Gilgenbach from Neverending Nightmares, into him, great guy. We'll have the interview from Aaron. We got a lot of stuff on the game Nosgoth.
Yeah.
We got a solid interview there. Lots of cool stuff. And as you heard at the beginning of the show, Charles Mignette.
Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah, Mario himself.
Ran into Super Mario, and he was cool enough to do that for us.
You might as well call him Mr. Nintendo. He does, like, every voice for the freaking franchise.
That's true, but he will die, Mario.
Wow.
Sorry, Charles.
That's terrible. And the
Charlie.
Yeah. But we got to, after I saw that, like, starstruck by that whole setup, we went over and played Planetside 2, And no diss to Sony Online. You guys had a great setup, like by far the best. Like you almost converted a full blown, you know, Sony person. I almost walked out of there drinking the Sony
you
Kool-Aid.
You came back to me running full speed, wow. I might add, sprinting, saying, look at this picture, and then talking about buying a PS4.
Yeah, like literally, that's how well they treated us. And I didn't expect to get that type of VIP, you know, hot food, breakfast, you know, and video games. I almost bent down on one knee and was like, you might as well, you fed me and then entertained me. What else do I need in this world?
You are hard to please. Yeah. I'm very surprised.
And so we played Plant, but yeah, like I said, no diss to the other games, but they didn't match up. And I think if they did
H1N1?
H1Z1. And PlanetSide 2. But so PlanetSide 2, I don't think we were actually supposed to see that one. But
that's what all your swag ended up being.
Yeah, but since John knew those, you know, those people, because I remember her asking her, you guys are just signed up for, you know, Landmark. Did you want to see everything? And she said, let's just do everything. So we just did everything. And then H1Z1 actually does look like a very entertaining game for your PS4. Since it's going to be exclusive, that would be a game I'd pick up. But it's kind of on the light side of features, which is weird. They have some crafting elements to it, but not to the to the degree of even Minecraft. So I don't know. It's kind of in a weird space right now.
Interesting.
And especially when one of the developers looks to me and is like, have you guys seen Landmark over there? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, you told me about that. A developer from PlanetSide was like,
from the H1Z1.
Oh, from H1Z1, yeah. Was saying, wow, did you guys see Landmark?
Yeah, like I know what I'm making is.
He's like, it makes me feel so insignificant.
Like, yeah, you can drop my controller. Go over there and try that over there. And I was like, dude, this is your game. You're supposed to be, you know, all
that's
about
like
your game.
That's a party foul.
Yeah, but he was being honest. Hey,
it's legit.
So, yeah. And then after that, that's when I came back over here and piggybacked on more of the events that you went to.
So I started off with Skull Candy and whatever their higher-end brand is. Honestly, I was still early. Some backstory. With all the walking, I chose the dumbest shoes you could possibly wear. I mean, they look awesome, but they're totally stupid. And I have blisters the size of silver dollars on both my feet. So I'm hobbling around looking like, you know, the guy from 300 who couldn't lift a shield above his head.
That's terrible.
That's what I'm walking around looking like.
Wow.
So we went there.
Especially with that camera then.
So I don't really care about what happened there. I'm not doing the article.
Real quick. Sony ordered us a car home whenever it's back to the, you know, from the hotel.
Oh, and they
used
that technology.
Yeah,
what is
that Uber ride. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that was just they class. You gave us a ride home. Like, you know, what else more do you need? Like, Microsoft needs to step up. Like, if I don't go to a Microsoft event where they play with the shaft or whatever, wow. Then there's no reason to even say Microsoft was there. Wow. Sorry, I had to throw that
All right,
in.
All right. Well, the first major thing I was able to go to was the Activision booth, and I got to sit in on the Activision is pretty awesome. They didn't treat me as crazy good as you, but they do take you up stairs kind of to a special room, give you some food, talk you, let you enter this room, and we sit in, and there's a giant screen. And they let us view. It wasn't a playable demo. This is one. Yeah, we didn't play this one. They sit you in there, and you get to watch pretty much the first two missions of the game.
Of what game?
I didn't even say the
game.
Yeah,
you said Activision.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. People know when I say Activision.
Activision makes a lot of games.
It's Call of Duty, bro. This was a big one, and as much as I wanted to go in there and not enjoy it, or, you know, come up with a story saying, oh, this is Call of Duty doing the same thing again, Sledgehammer seems to know what they're doing.
You think they've listened to those complaints that, oh, Call of Duty's coming out again, it's the same old?
It seems like it, because this one really has a story, and it's a story that, just watching it, I was cared moving forward. It didn't seem like two throwaway missions. They seemed intriguing. I knew what was going on. When before it's just like bad guy, bad guy, bad guy. This one was, we need to do this. They showed us basically the first opening mission, which I think they showed a big chunk of that during their show. So the one you saw during the show with the bridge and all the drones and stuff, we saw that one, but just a little more in depth. And then the second mission was one of those classic Call of Duty, you're with a more experienced guy, and he says, duck, and he activate your shield. And then a plane flies
over.
Was
this a live demo?
No, I think it was
somebody pre-recorded. Okay.
Yeah. Things that impressed me, things that were new that I found interesting, was Call of Duty, much like a few other games, Titanfall and Destiny, have added like a special boost to jump. So your character is wearing kind of like a rocket pad, and you can do a double jump now. Mm-hmm. The other thing was grenades. You have still tactical grenades and your frag grenades, but now when you pull up a frag grenade, you can choose what you want it to do. So basically, you don't have to worry about which grenades you want to roll.
So they take away the side grenades, basically, then?
You have side grenades still, and they have a certain, like, four things they can do. And
but
then
no, I'm
have
saying,
frag grenades,
you know how that would take up, like, normally it would take up a slot. You would have the lethal grenades and non-lethal grenades.
Yeah, you still
now
have both.
Now it's just you have a grenade that has that
well,
can, is
no,
capable
still,
of both?
No, it's still a lethal grenade that can do only lethal things, and then tactical that can do, like, four tactical things.
Okay.
So from what it seemed like. And the HUD is so minimalistic, it was kind of hard to tell exactly what's going on. The HUD is now all on your gun. So kind of like Halo style where it counts your bullets down for you with numbers. All the guns have that. And then little grenade icons on your gun,
okay,
like holographically.
Which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it was cool. Because it really, you don't realize how much a HUD really does take away from your immersion level.
Are you trying to get immersed in a Call of Duty game, though?
That's what I'm saying. The story was good enough where I want to be. You want to be immersed.
Oh, this, okay, for the story. Okay.
Oh, yeah, for campaign.
But people play for multiplayer.
For multiplayer, I'm hoping they change those grenades up, because if everybody has every grenade,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I'm like.
But maybe that's good.
Maybe
I
it levels the playing field.
Yeah,
I
was
going to
say, maybe. But it kind of gets rid of that decision making of, oh, should I get a smoke bomb or should I get a EMP.
Yeah, but then it sucks when you go out there and you don't need a smoke bomb and you're just stuck with it the whole time. Like,
exactly.
Everybody brought fans or something and just blows your smoke away. Yeah, exactly.
So the grenade that marks enemies was freaking awesome. It's one of the non-lethal ones, and you just throw it basically, and it does like this awesome red graphic that highlights everybody who it got in red and marks them for all your team,
so they can the rest of the team can see them for the rest of the map. Or
it seemed like it had a range or a time limit at least, so it was like a good 30 seconds or so of you able to see all the guys that were in the blast range, even when they're ducking behind cover. They have, and this was in the thing, you can bust the door the door off of a car, use it kind of like as a like a riot shield.
Was there more destructibility or no?
Mm-mm.
Still, okay.
See, as far as like, you know, the stuff we're seeing from Snowdrop where they're saying, oh, you can shoot the sign and cut a hole in it where light comes through. Nothing like that.
Nothing
still kind of
like
bullet, just bullet markings.
I guess.
You know, I can live with that. It is totally advanced. So like the first opening sequence we got to see was your team was in this giant, you know, military grade truck shooting like a plasma cannon off the top of this thing. Mm. The sounds were so good, and I was trying so hard. Being kind of a sound guy, it was hard to tell whether the room was just perfect for the sound, but I think just legitimately the sounds stood out to me this time.
Hmm. But you're in like a little small theater room.
Yeah, you're in a small theater room with a full surround sound, but like the sound of the gun and like when you're in the car and you get sideswiped, just the crunch. Being in a car accident myself, like it was like crisp sounds, dirty, gritty, like awesome sounds. And so that's something I'm looking forward to more. And if you play with headphones, you'll get that.
I was going to say, like, somebody's going to have to either buy that theater room and have that sound system in there,
or
they're going to
have
to play with some. Because
you're not getting it off of my. No, terrible. Don't listen to them. Cloaking, minimalistic HUD, mech suits.
Okay,
so,
yeah, how did that work?
The villains, I didn't see the villains. The bad guys.
Wow.
Whatever they are.
The brown people.
Yeah, that's what I call them.
Yeah.
It was one of those stealth missions, so you have like a full invisibility cloak.
Really?
Like, yeah. And so.
Now, if that transfers over to the multiplayer.
It's in Titanfall.
Yeah, but Titanfall
is. It's on a timer. I think it'll work.
I don't know.
But you're sneaking around, but you didn't get to fight any in this demo, but there's like a nice solid group of 10 or 12 full mech looking dudes walk past you. So that leaves me to believe that
There's probably going to be some type of perk or something, like some killstreak reward where you get a mech or something like that. That's what it's going
to
be.
Or hopefully at least like a story mission where you get to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll throw that in there.
Let's see. I just wrote down the smart grenade was the grenade that you get seen that you throw and like a little helicopter propeller spins off of it, and it kind of like homes towards where the bad guys are.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That was a cool one. They have contact grenades, so you don't have to cook the grenade anymore. You just set it to contact and you throw it, and as soon as it hits a wall, it explodes.
I like that.
And then an EMP grenade for
electronic stuff. Somebody's cell phone doesn't work.
So I can't call my mom to tell her I'm about to get
exactly,
shot.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was impressed with it. We didn't get a hands-on, unfortunately.
I don't understand why that's not hands-on.
Maybe it's too early. I don't know. There was no Kevin Spacey either.
He didn't show up to the event.
He didn't show up to the event, or they didn't show him in the story. The character models look very next-gen, finally. Ghost looks like nothing compared to this. Let's see.
Maybe it was rushed.
Maybe it was rushed.
Ghost, I mean.
Speaking about rushed, you know what that sound means. We're going to start winding down. So the next thing I got to do, which I have a little less to talk about. And by the way, guys, if you're listening to this and you want more information on these games or have questions, because we see a lot of stuff and we're going to review notes and stuff and come in with more thorough written versions of this stuff. So if we miss something that you want to hear us talk about on the podcast or tweet us, let us know and we will try our best to remember.
Yeah.
And help you guys out, because we want you guys to get the information about these games.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other one I got to see from Activision immediately after was Skylanders. And no one on our show, I've never gotten a listener asking for Skylanders coverage.
No.
It's not really in our realm.
And I haven't played it at all, actually.
But I was like, yeah, I'm here. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's go check it out. And I am so glad I'm not like 10, because I would lose all my parents' money to this thing.
I can see it happening. Nintendo's coming out with something similar. Did you see theirs?
Disney Infinity?
No, Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. They talked about it during their
show. They actually brought out their little
Skylander
figurine type of thing.
Yeah,
so
they're going to integrate it with, like, Smash Brothers.
And yeah, and then actually their figurines level up. How do you think that stacks up? Did they say anything about how theirs?
They do, yeah.
I guess the next iteration, from what you told, the how instead of you buying monsters to put in the game, you buy, I guess, capture crystals.
Yeah, this is the first time before the game's point was to take, buy character toys and put them in your digital game. But now there's a bunch of bad guys that you're capturing in these special crystals. So you defeat a bad guy, and if you have the right color crystal that correlates with his style of being bad.
Oh, they color core, so you can't just get anything.
Nah, it's like Pokemon, if you could only catch water Pokemon with a blue Pokeball.
That's stupid,
like that.
First of all.
Well,
but
it's money. You can't just buy like the same one, like, oh, I really want this orange one, so now I gotta buy the orange crystal.
Nintendo, they just need to, I mean, I would counter with the Pokemon type of capture thing.
The depth, I think, that gets thrown into, I don't think Nintendo will have to create a whole new infrastructure, because basically any toy that's a Skylander character model from even the first one, they reskin and re-update for the next iteration of the game. So they all work.
But the old ones obsolete then?
No, they all move. Hmm. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more with Skylanders apparently, because I got a lot more to say about it if we want to talk about it. But we got other stuff too, including Destiny. So stick around after the break.
I could have talked to that guy. Like, it made no sense why I left the room. And I think some of the other co-worker or writers, JB, he stood in that chair because he came a little later because he had car trouble. But he stood in that Sony chair and listened to that guy talk for another hour. I think.
There's a big, huge difference. And you can tell just from the meetings I've been in that when the person telling you about the game is really excited about the game and when they're not.
These guys, that work on Landmark, they are producing Landmark. They're really they the quote that Jordson said, he was like, oh my gosh, he was like, I don't see myself, or he said, I can't really imagine myself making another game after this. I can just see myself working on new stuff for this for the rest of my career. Wow. He said, I've been making games for 22 years and I've never had that feeling before.
This is the sum of my...
Like, this is... And when you look at it, it's just like, with other MMOs, where do you go?
Yeah.
Because I have a really destructible environment, new AI to where it's not just like, you know, everything is procedurally generated, so everything is new all the time. Mm-hmm. You're doing customization to, you know, your
it's
own...
It's community-based, so yeah, he doesn't community-based. Even really have to make the story
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. And then he was like, everything... And that's another thing, story. He said they can... Go to the community. The community can say, like, say I'm good at storytelling. You're good at creating in-game content, like maps and stuff like that. And we combine together. We find somebody else that's good at, you know, AI and stuff like that. And we all combine to make something, and we present this to them. Boom. We just put something in the game for others to enjoy. And he was showing us stuff that people put in the game. And when I tell you guys, I'm sorry, like, you can't go online and find the stuff that I saw. But when I tell you, and maybe eventually he probably will put it out to where you'll see it, but when I tell you that they got somebody that made a very intricate drill, like land drill or something, like this big machine that's all its purpose is to dig huge piles of earth out of the ground, right?
It's functional in the
no,
game.
No, it wasn't functional.
Okay.
'Cause, and see, this is what I asked him as well. I was like, well, are you guys going to be adding things in the game in the future that might make stuff like this functional? And he was like, he huge grin on his face. He was like, that's one of our next steps.
Wow.
To where we get type mechanical things for to put in your hands, to where you have functioning machines inside the. And so, but with the model that the guy made just from Landmark alone, it was just so detailed, like as if he went and into like Maya, you know, the 3D, mm-hmm. you know, it, like he just did that himself, but it was all in game stuff. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. And he, I guess that guy won like some, you know, award or whatever.
That's amazing.
It was good. I swear this game is going to be amazing. If it fails, like if I go and I play it first day and it glitches out and he like just wipes the world clean or something, that is the only way I can see it failing.
Yeah.
But everything that they showed us ran smoothly. There was no hiccups. No, nothing. And this was like alpha build type of stuff, so it can only get better.
Yeah. So we were talking about Skylanders before the jump.
Yeah.
Skylanders, it's cool. So there's the pad that comes out, and you place your toy character on it, and he comes mm-hmm. to life in the game. And they have toys that span all sorts of different art styles. Like, they had one that looked like Blitzcrank that did boxing. They had a rock and roll werewolf. And down to like a piece of broccoli.
I saw, yeah, I've seen that.
A candy vomiting pinata.
Never seen.
It's insane, but it's completely like little open world thing that you can go into, and you can only get to certain places with characters that have certain types
abilities
of abilities.
And okay.
And it's up to you to really explore. Mini games all over it. But what I found one of the most cool things was when you're using the crystal to capture a bad guy, you hear him in the game, you defeat him. You know, there are little comical things, you know, not terribly funny, but you kill him and you capture him, and you hear his voice screaming on the TV going and then all of a sudden you hear it in the toy. There's speakers on it, and he's talking to you through there too.
More immersion type of thing.
It's
yeah.
total immersion, and you can take those same characters over to your friend's house and you
hear it reverse when you throw it back in there, and
yeah,
it screams and
goes,
it goes
up to the TV and it's got all your levels and stats on it and everything.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's definitely cool. I mean, Nintendo's, like they said, they're doing something similar with the stats and everything on their little... Do you think that will stack up?
I heard from Chris Del Castillo.
Uh-huh.
He's saying what he would hope they would do is use them to port all your settings. Because apparently in the Smash Brothers community, there's a lot of customization that each player... Like, they want to put... When they go to tournaments, for example,
oh, okay.
they want to put their name in there. They want to make sure that they have the customizations that they all want. And so they were thinking that would be a good idea to store those type settings so that when you go to a tournament, you know, they have their little thing and they stick it on there, and that would be
saves
critical.
Time.
It's functional.
I could see a lot of them doing that and just wearing them as like keychains
or a
gold
case
or
something.
Yeah,
like that.
And they just unscrew it and then just boom. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
He brought it out, everybody. There it is.
Yu-Gi-Oh style.
You know how much that would actually go for? that would actually increase those statues' like value.
Oh yeah.
Like say there was a champion of, you know, of a Smash Brothers tournament. It got real big, and then he put his actual custom stats and options on his statue, just like online. Like, oh, you can own this guy's, you know, what he won the championship with. And then you just take it home and be like, oh, man, this is what he won. And then you put it on and you got all his exact same stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That raises the value. I wonder if can you do that with the Skylanders stuff? Like, how, because I know everything levels up and everything like that. I wonder if people got online and be like, hey, you know, this is a, I don't know, Blitzcrank that has smoke all around it, but, it, you know, the stats on it are, like, crazy or something like that.
That's a good point. I didn't look at that.
Because, I mean, that's valuable to some people. We used to have people when we were
People do that on WoW, right?
You sell old characters, yeah.
Like, you level up a character and sell it.
And look how many kids come into GameStop and they want, when the GBA was the big thing and everybody wanted Pokemon, they would be like, oh, can I get a cartridge that has, you know, a used one that has all the Pokemon already and stuff like that. Yeah, they want the huge stats already without all the work. Laziness. So, yeah. And they'll pay money for that.
If your kids are asking to do that, ground them.
Wow.
Let's see. What do we move on to? So, after Skylanders, did we meet up yet?
Yeah, we met. Right after Skylanders, you came in and we were over at the indie game.
Oh, okay.
And we played that indie game called...
Vinyl.
Vinyl, yes.
Yeah,
that's
right,
because
Vinyl.
It had the about the
Vinyl was thing. Awesome. They
Vinyl
also
was awesome.
They
yeah.
come from the University of
Utah, wasn't it?
Utah. The same exact this game we were playing was developed in the same exact room as our favorite VGB pick
Cyber Heist. Yeah.
By Zach Truscott and his group.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, because I saw that's the reason I went up to Vinyl. I said, wow, you guys know Zach? And they're like, yeah, no Zach. This game was developed like 10 feet from Cyber Heist.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, right in the same room, yeah. And actually, it's, I don't know how we'd explain it, because it's not really a rhythm-based game.
You remember
game, right?
Sonic in the 2. Levels? Yeah, Sonic 2 yeah. in the levels where you're like on a half pipe trying
yes.
to collect coins. I'm trying to paint a picture for you people. So... it's like that, except instead of Sonic, you're like a surfboard riding
chick. Yeah, you are a chick.
And you import your own music collection. So if you have favorite songs, if you make music, you put them, import them to the song. Based on the waveforms, procedurally generates.
Awesome. That's just in every game now.
Yeah. Obstacles. And so you weave in and out of these. There's a rewind, so just like a record, you could slow it down and go back in time if you made a mistake to try and keep your streak alive. Or you could speed up to get multipliers, and there's boosts, like once your power meter, you can jump over and do like, this awesome
slam thing.
Yeah,
and then you like land, and then it'll like knock all the obstacles out of your way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whenever you hit an obstacle, though, it messes up your track.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what song did you pick?
I picked Welcome to the Jungle.
Really?
By Guns N' Roses, yeah.
I didn't hear it, actually.
You didn't?
No, I swear to you. Uh-huh. Like, whenever, because maybe because I was talking to the developer lady.
Well, yeah, we were mid-interview, so yeah. it was crazy.
I picked the Beatles, 8 Days a Week.
Yes, you did. I was going to see if you remember it. I'm surprised you
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorite songs. It's on my phone. I literally listen to it, you know, whenever it randomly comes up. So, okay. But I did like the whole concept, but I like procedurally generated. I did ask them if we could see like a iPad or, you know, a Android app, because it's kind of, to me, it seems like that's something you can do just with like a little thumb thing maybe.
But we can't complain too much because it is for free.
It is free. Yeah, you can play it
so
to your heart's content.
If you want to play it right now, if you're just listening to us and you are bored with us here talking about it, go play it for yourself.
Do you remember their slogan? Are there working in title? It was actually pretty good.
It was good. It hit us with it.
Our game is as good as
your music.
Yeah. That was pretty good. And then she was like, we're still working on them. Like, that's pretty good there.
Yeah.
Our game is as good as your music. Yeah. So I'm like, throw it on them like there. You have crappy music.
Yeah.
You can play a crappy game then.
We also talked to Matt Gilgenbach. He was the Never Ending Nightmares guy. That was the game that's based around social anxiety disorders.
Yep, his personal, you know,
from nightmares that this guy personally had. He made a fairly successful game before this called Retrograde.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a music-based spaceship game, very critically popular, but unfortunately a financial failure. He lost a lot of money, almost had to lose his house and stuff, so but he loved games still and wanted to give it another go, and decided to go with a more personal approach, made his full budget with a crazy story that you'll hear when we upload it, because he almost didn't make it, but it was like really one of those 11th hour deals. And it was great to follow up and see how the game had changed since the first time we talked to him. And he really listened to the community, which is a huge theme in indie games right now.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Community actually, some of the big ones, too.
They're going that way.
Yeah, because they know that these indie games are getting a lot of light showing on,
Nosgoth
on them. Yeah,
was very cool and really listened to the community, uh-huh. but like the addition of a sprint. There wasn't a sprint in Neverending Nightmares before.
Just, really?
Yeah, just little things like that. He listened to the people. I guess some of his... and this was, like, probably tough to admit for him, but he was saying, like, some of the story and dialogue, you know, he writes it and thinks, oh, yeah, this is good. And the community's like, that's just cheesy or stupid. And he was like, oh, okay. And he changed it. He actually made some huge creative things to, you know, admit it a weakness, and the game's better now for it.
Yeah. I mean, he drew upon on his personal experiences for that. It's probably where all the writing came from. And they were probably like, well, that probably doesn't translate well into a video game, dude. So
yeah.
You're going to have to switch that up a little.
I guess there's an addition of a more polished combat system.
I don't even remember the combat system too much.
I don't think there was one.
It was just
you just kind
of
run away.
Yeah. 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 It was pretty. I thought it was going to stay that way as well, too, because kind of how a little early Silent Hill was, you know, I mean, you had a gun in it, but it was more focused on exploring, running away from stuff and getting the puzzles solved.
Mm-hmm.
That's how early horror games were in the beginning. They've all kind of just transformed now into
action.
Yeah, let me get a gun.
Dead Space to me is the perfect example of that happening right before our eyes in a span of like 2 years, three
yeah.
games came out.
Yeah.
And the first one was critically acclaimed. Oh, the finally a scary game.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, people were like, yeah, it's Dead Space. It's good. And then the third one, it's like, why is this Gears of War?
Yeah. It was bare, and I heard
ammo
the story
used to be
spare, too, yeah.
sparse. You couldn't get ammo, but then in three, it's like ammo falling from the skies.
Yeah, I heard the story was bad. It was like it didn't make any sense. But I don't know. And even with the new ones that I'm kind of seeing, the new horror games that aren't indie, they're still like, even when I played the The Evil Within, I still had a gun, even though there was like they put in monsters that your only option is to just run. I didn't feel like I was running out of fear. I felt like I was just running out of this necessity. Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I have weapons, yeah. multiple weapons. So, you know, if there was a way for me to kill it, I'd stand my ground, you know. No Trayvon Martin joke there, but
wow.
I think everything
I was thinking Tom Petty.
And the Heartbreakers?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Song, Won't Back Down, Hold My Ground.
Have no
That's
idea.
The cultural difference right here. That's why people listen to this
no.
show.
You know what?
Because Aaron's fans went immediately Trayvon Martin.
And your fans went Tom Petty?
They're like turning off the show to go listen to some Tom Petty right
wow.
now.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't like that we've taken that all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, survival horror should be, there's big things that scare people. Being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Dark,
yep,
you know, and then
being powerless,
yeah. And then the other thing is your imagination. If you don't see what's coming at you, your imagination creates something,
yeah.
And so those four elements in a game, that's what makes a good horror game. And then you can throw in some story, of course. But once you put a pistol in my hand, you've given me some type of power,
yeah,
yeah. Or if you what they've tried to do too is now add like magic spells. That means I'm a magician or a mage now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get down with this.
So, no.
Yeah.
You need to keep those four cores right there.
And I think one of the imagery from Neverending Nightmares, it's so macabre. And I guess it was like things
macabre,
that
yeah.
would keep him awake at night. Like the thoughts, like remember the one where she pulls her bones out?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
That's just weird.
That's based off of like thoughts he was having that was making him go... Batty.
It feels like after you beat that game, you're like, dude, what the hell did you go through?
Do you need a hug?
Yeah, like, yeah, like,
can I hug you, man?
Like, it's that serious, man.
Yeah, well, it was good to retouch bases with him. Like I said, full interviews for him, Nosgoth will be posted, and much more. Some of the Oculus developers for a game we got to try.
Yeah, the White Lotus.
And Amnesia.
You played that. I didn't
Amnesia,
play that
I got a very good interview with them, yeah, too.
Okay, cool.
Interesting. Let's see. So after that, Aaron and I kind of took a breather because my dogs needed to breathe. We met Adam Sessler.
We did.
In that break.
We did meet Adam Sessler. We got to snap off a couple of photos. Well, one photo.
We got one.
He was totally open for it. I mean, you asked him, like, so how's the, you know, new direction? And he was totally open to just talk about, you know, whatever he was, you know, feeling, I guess. He's like,
yeah, he weight had been lifted. He wasn't there for work at all. Like, this guy isn't in front of cameras that I've seen.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. Yeah.
It looks like he's just there doing whatever his new thing is. I honestly don't know what it is since he left Revision 3.
I've noticed a trend for the last 2 days at least. We see celebrities, and then we'll see one that we think is a celebrity, not sure. And then when we finally, like, either Google search the person, or like, oh, that is a celebrity.
It is a celebrity.
Yeah. And they've been black.
Yep. Every time.
Every single one. We got the green, the 8 Mile guy.
8 Mile.
Whoever he is. And then we got this guy from Leverage, the black guy from Leverage.
Yep.
Was playing Smash Brothers today.
Yeah. We saw, before that, I got to go get a picture and photo op with Phil Spencer from Xbox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The main guy at Xbox. That was cool. I was kind of dumb because I pulled out my Windows phone. He's like, oh, Windows phone. I said, yeah, when are we getting more on T-Mobile? He's like, I'm not the phone guy. I was like, I know that. But, you know, I thought you got it.
That's when he smacked the phone out of your hand.
Yeah,
do you know what I do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I do?
Pretty much. He was awesome. Side note, Keegley was there. And then when I went up, like, for a photo op, Keegley booked it. So I think he's been listening to the show, bro.
Either that or he is one of those celebrities that does not like to take pictures with people.
Maybe.
And I mean, because I can't really think of seeing any, like, just fan photos online of him.
Mm-mm.
Maybe he is, but I mean,
he's so used to it. Like, oh, you're making fun of me? You want to take a picture of me?
You know what?
Is this a joke?
No.
Are you being ironic right now?
Yeah, he probably doesn't want anybody photoshopping him. Because it'll probably
he's
run
a lightning
rampant.
Rod for hate.
Yeah, he is. But I think he kind of put himself there. Because
but he's successful.
He's very successful.
Most people aren't.
Yeah, he's very successful, and that's why, I mean, you put yourself there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. He on G4, he was, you know, kind of when he started there, it was like, oh, that's, you know, Jeff Keighley. And then he kind of just, I guess, took the right steps to put himself in those positions to be the man to go to for video game type of stuff. And now, I mean, I don't know if you want to call him number one, but he's at least in that realm around there for video games.
Gained respect for Greg Miller, guy I think we've kind of said maybe a few ill words about on the show.
I've never said any ill words.
Maybe not on the show.
Wow.
But I met him. We ran into – always see him at the bars. Got to talk to him a little bit, just kind of about his success and how he's like the one who made it. Because legitimately, he was doing exactly what we were doing at one point, and he made it to the pretty much the peak of what IGN is, and as far as web shows.
Yeah, he did, and it was kind of, I mean, maybe not for him overnight, but I mean, for viewers like me, I guess it seemed like it was overnight. Like he was just there one day, and then now
and every
he's
time
the
you see
forefront.
Him, and maybe it's what's so annoying about him, but he just always looks like he's having the time of his life. And it kind of makes you hate him for it. You're like, damn, you're having so much fun, and you're doing everything I want to be doing right now.
I think him and Keighley, if they were ever in the same room, it'd be like a whirlwind of, like, I don't know, like, hate would surround them.
I'm sure Miller probably gets a lot of hate.
Until it compressed them into nothing.
So.
And then you ran into your nemesis from behind glass.
Yeah, he's
and
lucky
didn't
that
have
he's
the courage
so,
to go in there.
He's
and
so lucky that glass was
stop
there.
Stop the interview and
follow us on Twitter, people.
What was
at Video Game Bang. Ed Boone was sitting there in the IGN lounge.
I thought it was a GameSpot.
No, I think it was IGN.
You sure? I could have sworn it was not.
Sure.
We have a picture and we'll be able to tell. Oh,
picture,
later.
Photographic evidence. We posted a picture of me physically threatening Ed Boone.
Did you put it on there?
Yeah.
Did you post it on
there? Oh,
hell
yeah.
Wow.
I posted that.
Did you tag him in it, though? Coward.
Maybe.
Coward.
I did. What do you think?
Wow.
I wouldn't tag him.
Because he'll come after you. You're in the same city as him.
Come at me, bro.
Wow.
I'm not afraid of Ed Boone. Until he sends, like, Scorpion.
Exactly. A bunch of cosplayers after you.
So, back to the games. What did we do next?
Okay, so we went to the indie thing. We had eaten there.
We ate there.
And then we were like, because you had another meeting, so we were like, let's cram in some games before. Did we go play Fable? Or
we got to play Fable again. I got to play from the other perspective. Aaron got to play as the villain. How did you... Taking in mind what I said yesterday, how did you rate being the villain?
The villain actually was pretty fun, but pretty limited. Like, you got to control your, you know, the units, but it seemed like, I mean, there's only four units to really control.
Mm-hmm. You can move landmines and move gates up and down.
Yeah, and I mean, it just seemed like I wasn't powerful enough, even though I did get, you know, pretty
every game I watched, dangerous. The heroes won.
Yeah, every game that they said so far, every game the heroes have won.
They said that? Every yeah, game?
The guy that was telling, he was like, well, they had a tally mark in front of me. And it looked like maybe the villain won maybe like twice, if anything. And there was a whole bunch of scratch marks on the hero part.
Wow.
And they were like, they were doing that to balance as they're having people test it now.
Cool.
So we were, you know, a part of the, you know,
oh, okay. So that's probably why you did a little better than me, is because they balanced the games over the night. Yeah, now it all makes sense.
I did tremendously. I had the guy that was rooting me on. He was like, he was excited. He was sitting up there. He was like, oh, these guys are natural. And I was like, yeah, dude, I play video games. Like,
well, how did you feel about the controller, though? Would you have preferred more of a touch interface?
I would have gone faster. I would have gone way faster.
I think even mouse and keyboard for me would have been better in that situation.
Yeah, response time would have been like lightning quick, especially when it comes to moving things. Well, he said whenever, because you start off where you can place units and mines and everything, whatever you have at your arsenal in the beginning. At the demo, you only had, what was it, like 90 seconds maybe?
Even less.
But he said when the full game comes out, you'll have, you know, way more time. Like, he told me unlimited, but I don't believe that.
I knew, since I had played once before, I knew where those mines were going to be. I knew it's always good to put one right at the gate when people open
it. Well, he told me to put that there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And so I was like, if you told me, you've probably told other people.
And word's getting around.
Yeah.
It's a new meta, dude. Yeah, it's a new meta. Don't worry.
And so when the second time came around, he turned to talk to like one of the ladies or whatever, one of the girls that were out there. And I just was like, I just took it. I was like, I'm just going to throw whatever I want. So at first I put three mines right at the door.
And they set each other off.
And no. I started taking them back because that's exactly what I thought. I was like, maybe they'll start, you know, trigger one each blows. Other. Yeah. So I put one, you know, I started doing it more strategically. And then when he told me that I can lift the gates, I was like, oh, I'm about to start locking people away as much as I can. Like, I'm going to separate that healer from everybody and then just try to focus in on him so he can't do that healing crap anymore.
The accents in that booth win.
Oh, man.
Those accents can make a 2, a 10.
And they didn't have... I didn't hear any girls, though.
Oh, well, we had a girl helping us.
Oh, it was a guy helping me. That's why. Yeah, see. It was a guy. And then he, like, turned to another group of... Oh, he was. He was talking to the girls that were helping the other guy. So, yeah, I didn't get the... Yeah, I got the guy.
Aww.
That sucks.
We'll go back tomorrow. We'll go back tomorrow.
Can I have her over there? Yeah. I have to play the hero, though. I got to see how the heroes work.
It's different. It's a definitely different mechanics and controls than the last Halos. It's its own game. Halos, Fable. Mm-hmm. So it's Fable in license, but it's like a spiritual Fable. It's set in the world of Fable, but to me, the controls are so different. They did do things like add the breadcrumbs are back.
Oh, yeah, the little sparkly things.
Yeah.
They need a way for you to renew or rejuvenate your... enemies as a villain, because once you guys killed them all, I was just stuck with a stupid ogre, and it was just like, yeah, you guys got this. He's so slow. There's no reason for me to even try to, you know, do anything. But when I had the ogre and then that stealth guy, I was doing a lot more damage.
Yeah,
you know, because I could just stealth him around, hitting you guys, and then if you try to focus on, I kind of just try to keep him close to the ogre. So whenever you try to focus him, the ogre would just smash down.
That's a good move. Hurt you. That's a good move.
And I got him down to about 12% overall health. But
you killed me, but did you see me running around reviving everybody?
Yeah, that's the problem. Why is everybody else being able to get revived, but I can't re-up on enemies?
Yeah, it's pretty imbalanced at this point in my honest opinion.
They have to balance that.
Yeah.
They have to balance that.
The other game we got to play, I just remembered, Super Smash.
We did,
and that was embarrassing.
That wasn't embarrassing.
Because you and I, it was four men, every man for himself.
If you saw the
number
score.
One gets a prize. And we had two people who went in with a gentleman's agreement to try and help each other win, and we got schooled.
We got schooled in the practice run when I was Mac, and I didn't know what to do with Mac because I didn't know his move. Like, everybody knows the Smash Brothers, there's always a third jump. You have your jump, you have your double jump, and then you have some move. You have one of your Smash moves to do your extra jump to get back onto the stage or whatever. So I normally thought up and, you know, B is your third jump. That's what everybody usually is.
Yeah.
Well, Max, his up and B is just straight in the air. So I died the first time trying. His regular B move is the one that arcs to get you back onto the level.
Really? Just regular B move?
Yeah. Well, his regular smash. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a charge up punch that's just like an arching punch over back to the stage.
I think the characters are all definitely weighted heavier in this game.
They definitely are, because when we played second time, I was Link and I only died once.
Yeah,
and that was throughout the whole match.
Samus's charged blast has been
nerfed a little,
officially nerfed in this one, because I was hitting you guys full charge, and then just everyone was still recuperating.
Yeah, it seemed
and
like,
then my kills would get stolen because I'm on the other side still charging.
Yeah, yeah. That the guy that won, he literally was just picking off the leftovers, because it's not like he did all the work himself. Like, I was beating him up for most of the time because nobody in that game seems to block.
Yeah.
And I block all the time, and I block and dodge. And block, dodge, grab, throw, you know. I do all the stuff that nobody seems to do anymore. I've been doing that since 64.
I think the pacing on this one, they took some of the franticness out of it, and it was more of a strategic game to me.
Yeah, it was definitely more. Yeah. The character selection, of course, it was a demo, but they did stick some of the new people, new faces in there, which was pretty fun.
It
so.
Was more than it was, wasn't as limited of a roster as I figured we'd be playing with at this
point. I
didn't
get to play with Mega Man. I wanted to play with Mega Man.
I saw Mega Man, but when you got a shirt on the line, you got to.
I know
try
you
got to
go with it. That's
that
why I
can get down with.
When she was like, "We got to practice first, and then you get to do a real thing." That's why I was like, "Let me play with Mac," you know, on the practice one, the little throwaway one, and then I'll pick somebody that I'm more comfortable with. That's why I went Link for the second one.
Yeah,
but I mean, nonetheless, that dude just still picked off, you know, the little leftovers or whatever.
I got to meet another group of podcasters.
Who was that?
Gamertag.
Gamertag Radio?
Yeah.
Really?
I met Gamertag Radio. We were in the Call of Duty conference together.
Really?
Yeah. They're legit, and they know their sound, which is always impressive to me as the resident VGB sound guy. The way they record is interesting. I didn't know this about them, but apparently they're in three different areas, and they all record to their own recording software and then send them to one place and then piece them all together.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. So they're each talking to each other like through a Skype call or whatever, but all locally recording themselves in high quality so that when they send all the files to one spot, they just match them all up, and then it sounds like one cohesive show.
That does sound like a lot of
work. That's a lot of freaking work.
Yeah, yeah.
And they showed me a new toy we got to get. This little DR07 Tascam recorder we've been using. They have one that has two XLRs on the bottom, run to like an SM58, and they're recording parts of their show right there.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's pretty dope.
So thanks to them. If you're looking for a second favorite podcast, they don't need any more listeners.
I was going to say, I think Gamertag Radio is pretty good.
Gamertag Radio. Let's see. What did we do after that one?
After Smash Bros. Because that's when we started meetings.
There was a meeting. Square Enix.
No?
That wasn't really a meeting, though. I mean, we were scheduled for that one.
Square Enix?
Yeah. That's the one where it was on your badge because they gave you a thing.
That was like the last one we went to, wasn't it?
No. It was the last one you went to.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't even a meeting. That literally was just they gave me a sticker on my badge.
But we got to play Final Fantasy, the rhythm game.
That rhythm game was actually pretty fun. I mean, if you like rhythm games on the DS, I mean, like, what is that? Elite Beat Agents?
Mm-hmm.
It takes you kind of back to that kind of feeling.
Using the stylus. I feel like I'd break my DS fairly quickly or scratch the crap out of that.
If you play that game, definitely will, because there's like slash marks you have to move.
Slash marks, and then once it starts getting fast, like you're going frantic.
Yeah.
Like me, I was anyways. I'm freaking beating the hell out of this demo unit, feeling bad afterwards, like I need to leave mine as a... There's a party going on.
Yeah,
outside.
I was about to say.
Wow, I think they probably heard that on the show.
Or maybe the Kings just won tonight, because we are in L.A., everybody. And the L.A. Yeah. Kings are, you know, which is irony that we're here when the
LA
Kings.
Has, yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you one thing about that Final Fantasy game. Lady Magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Every girl in the on the show floor in that little booth, I always saw go right up to that rhythm game or whatever.
Yeah. And Chick Magnet.
Yeah, they would just flock to it. That game was fun, though. You know, not to take away from anything or whatever. It was fun.
We played Toad's Adventure.
You played Toad's Adventure.
I played Toad's Adventure. Aaron hit on the girl.
She wasn't even...
She did. She had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. She
poor thing.
She was going back and forth between two booths, though. I saw
yeah,
her.
Yeah, we're
back
pretty convinced she got demoted. Like they,
oh, yeah.
They put, like, the less cheery Nintendo girls
yeah,
on the Toad game.
She really kind of sucked the fun out of... Oh, that's it. If you're hearing that right now, I'm thinking that's it. Because they just said, I think I heard on the news them saying they can win the thing tonight.
Are you kidding?
Either that or somebody has died in L.A. tonight.
Well, that's nothing different.
Nope, that's...
That sounds like a
that's
paramedics.
Sound. Yeah, never mind,
yeah.
People. That is...
False alarm. Kings didn't win the Stanley Cup. It looks like someone got murdered in our hotel room. Or in this hotel.
Or in L.A., somewhere.
Toad's game was kind of fun. You control the camera with one stick. I guess this is based off of a mini game that already exists in another Nintendo
Mario
license.
Game or something like that. Yeah. He can't jump.
He can't jump.
That just seems awkward to me.
He still pulls turnips out of the ground, though.
He does. And I want to say the thing about Toad's turnip pulling in Super Mario World 2. Was he was faster than the other ones pulling turnips out.
Yeah.
And I think that was his little niche.
It's like his thing.
Yeah. You know, Mario was kind of balanced all around. Luigi had the little floating jump. Princess Peach could fly.
We can confirm the Rangers did win tonight, people. So, their dream is still alive. Maybe people are just raging and someone murdered somebody. That's probably what that was.
Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't really find that Toad game appealing.
It was a throwaway. There was no line, so we just jumped on that one.
Yeah.
I guess
I played Sonic while we were waiting on Smash Brothers. I got to play Sonic for the first time on the DS.
Just because it was a pretty lady, and that DS was tied to her belt.
And she gave me some free swag.
And swag.
And so I played
And twins!
I played it for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Learn anything new about it this time that you didn't last time?
I didn't play it the last time. I played the 3D.
Oh, you played the Wii U version.
The 3D version,
yeah. That's right.
This one is just a...
Side scroller switch between all the
standard
characters. What? I heard you bitching about Knuckles as well.
Yes, and she was like, "Yeah, Knuckles doesn't fly in this one." I was like, "So then, why am I playing this, lady?
Why am I playing this game?
Get it out of my head." She knew nothing about the game, though. Really?
Oh yeah.
She because I asked her. She's like, "And here's a new person, Spike or something? I don't know what the new character's name is." Said, "What animal is this?" She's like, "I don't know. It looks like a fox, I think." I was like, no, it's not a fox.
Can we have a moment of silence for whoever just died?
I don't know. They could be being rescued. L.A. has some good freaking paramedics. Jeez.
Last thing, definitely not the least thing. Actually, the thing that made the show for me in the past 2 days, Destiny.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
We got to go. I got to do the Destiny one solo. They broke it up into two sections. There's a multiplayer show for Destiny and then a single player experience. So I got to go do the single player experience.
Okay.
Which is still a multiplayer experience, so I was really confused.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Yeah, so anyways, they take you in. I got to sit with a guy who designs levels for Bungie, worked on Halo 2 and everything. So that's the first thing. I was like, first, let me get something out of the way, brother.
Wow.
Halo 2 is my favorite game.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I was like, so, and he's like, I worked on Halo 2. So I was like, we're going to be bros.
Wow.
So, you know, we were afraid that the game is going to be Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
The game is Halo.
Well, then you have introduced a new fear to people.
The thing is, like, the shotgun looks like the shotgun.
Uh-huh. You said the vehicle.
The vehicle you get handles pretty much like a ghost.
In the previous episode, you said the helmets.
The helmets look kind of the
yeah.
same.
Yeah. So, what is this difference? Because you came out of the booth, literally. People.
I
he
loved
came out
it.
Of the, he
I
was
loved
like,
it.
That was awesome. That was amazing. That's a game to get.
It was the game to get. Again, just Bungie knows how to make things epic. The music is still... Even the music is, is somewhat Halo. It's got that tribal beat, you know, and the just the air of, like, something... You're in this huge world. basically, you can't avoid multiplayer in this game.
Yeah, so it's a persistent online type of thing, right?
Yeah, in a lot of instances, even if you're the biggest shutout, you could not reply to anybody and stuff, but you'll always run through, I guess, people. And they can't grief you or nothing, so that's good.
Okay.
But then they did a really, almost too good of a job of separating the moments of being in the world with the isolated happenings, if you will.
Hmm.
So we were following a waypoint. He jumped in the game with me, so we're playing through the campaign together. And as we're exploring, and there's another woman there who's kind of answering questions for, I see a help indicator. And I'm like, I'm counting, like, one, two, there's two of us. Someone's dead over there. And I said, are we in a match? And he said, yeah, that's, we're on the server. So that could be like a Bungie representative or, you know, someone.
Oh, out. Wow.
And so I hop on my ghost and I just book it to him and I revive him and stuff. And he doesn't move, of course. He was AFK. But I was like, that's kind of cool.
Was it pretty open?
It was very open.
Okay.
Because
all they've shown so far has kind of been, it looks linear from what they showed you previously.
Know what? I didn't get a chance to explore enough to say that. Let me go back on that. I will say it's like as open as Borderlands, if we're going to do comparisons.
Okay. I mean, okay.
Like a zone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Apparently there's no load screens
in
this. So maybe like a...
No load screens at all, they said.
That's what the dude said. I said, is there load screens? And when we went between the open world and the happening, because me and him joined a squad together. So, and when we entered this little building, I was like, can that guy come in here and help us out? He said, no, since we're a squad, we went into a happening. So this is designed to be more intimate leveling type thing.
Okay.
And so we're going through the level and it's playing like Halo. It's got the sprint. There's three character classes with three different races. None of the races are specific to class. We went through the character creation because he's like, you want to see the character creation? I was like, hell yeah. And so we did that. It's one of those things where you can't like customize every single detail of the face.
Which I don't think you need to with all the helmets that are in the freaking game.
If gear is such a big deal, then I guess, yeah. But one thing interesting, though, you cannot adjust the body type whatsoever.
Well, you got to be a slim soldier. You can't be a fat soldier, right?
Well, you know, you want to be a, you know, obviously a tank or, I don't know. You got to have some height. But nothing was
gender
weight.
Locked as well, right? You can always go back and forth between gender, right?
After you create your character?
No. Before, while you're creating your character.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. We kind of, I did one thing that seemed a lot like Borderlands-esque, but when I asked him about, like, more about it, it was the leveling system and the skill points. It was kind of like a tree based system where you go from top to bottom. Each character has like an ultimate. So
okay.
I chose the damage dealing hunter guy, and his ultimate is he creates like a golden gun and gets three shots with it, and then it's just automatic kills.
Really?
Yeah. It was so short-lived because I was like, golden gun, baby, bam, bam, bam. And I was like, what the fuck? He went away. He's like, yeah, you get three shots.
Yeah, you don't want to be overpowered with that type of thing. You know?
I was like, I could have just ran up and stabbed those guys in the face, though. Like, I was excited to use my ultimate.
Maybe you're supposed to wait for
save it for a bigger boss.
Wait for a bigger person.
The ultimate moves kind of feed each other because when I kill someone with a golden gun, it puts an orb on the ground that I can't pick up, but he can pick up. And that it helps him charge his ultimate meter faster.
Oh, okay.
So, and then when he does his ultimate, which I believe he... What the hell did he do? He didn't actually do it, which is why he just told me about it. He chose, like the mage class or whatever. Whatever they decided that one is. But whenever he does that move, it drops orbs on the ground, and I can pick it up and charge up my ultimate.
Okay, so they're really adding an aspect of you need, you know, partners.
It really helps, because if you can get those ultimates going over and over again, you can probably do some...
Wipe through the game quickly.
Wipe through the game, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, as far as, like, the thing that sucks is that, to me anyways, is Destiny is partnered with Sony. It's partnered with PS4, so the alpha is going to be out on the PS4. Beta comes to everybody in July, I believe.
Okay.
We got tons of Destiny codes too. None to give out right away, but just keep your ear on the show. If you have a PS4, we'll hook you up with some Destiny codes. But I couldn't gauge how good like the controls were because it's not my controller, you know.
Hmm.
But for it being a PS4 controller, the aiming was precise. The movements were awesome. Thumb the jumping, thumbsticks the only thing that bugged me. That's the only thing that kind of hindered my aim to me. Because I'm so dialed in to the freaking offset joysticks. That's how I aim. That's how I get things done. But overall, I mean, that's made the show for me. It really was reminiscent of classic Halo. I'm happy for this opportunity for Bungie to get back on the market with a creative game that is going to be fun for multiplayer. I think this is definitely going to be the game that you're going to want to get on with your friends. And we asked the PR guy, because it's the same PR guy that's doing Destiny is doing Call of Duty. And Chris asked him, like, how are you promoting two games that are kind of in competition with each other? And this guy knows the game more than all of us. And after today, I've played both of, or seen both of them in as far depth as you can. And they're different sports, man. Besides that you're holding a gun, they're different games.
I can see that.
You're going to compete with some people are going to make the decision. But for the most part, this game is chess and Call of Duty's checkers.
Wow. You're calling people of Call of Duty stupid then?
No. Checkers Checkers is a brilliant game.
Brilliant?
Yeah. Oh,
five-year-olds?
You never heard of
No.
Robbie?
No.
Robbie Mitchell?
No. No.
It was Bobby Fischer's cousin? No.
Clearly he was his retarded cousin, because that's just stupid.
Well, everybody, thank you for sticking with us. Aaron, do you have any final thoughts on day two of E3?
Go play Landmark if you can. Try to get into that beta. It's going to be awesome.
And we promised codes for that one, right?
Yeah, a couple.
A
couple codes.
Yeah. What was our hashtag ponytail? Give us hashtag ponytail, tag us in it, and we will give the first few people to respond some beta access to the much-anticipated EverQuest Landmark.
Might be the last game you ever play.
Might be. It's the last game Ponytail's going to develop, so...
He's so passionate about it, I swear.
Let's see. And if I had to say anything, it's just stay tuned for our next show. I can't guarantee it'll be tomorrow because we have a long day of the show. Waiting in the airport and travel. Unless we could find a way to record in the airport, which I don't know if customs will.
Yeah, no, they won't.
So we'll have it up loaded with interviews, loaded with more content. We appreciate you guys for sticking with us for this event. It's really been awesome for us, I think. Final thoughts for the night. What about your just thoughts of E3 in general? Do you believe we're here still?
Yeah, this whole event has been one grand experience. And I keep asking, or getting asked, you know, each time, oh, is this your first E3? And I'm like, yeah. And then the same question comes up. It's just, it's hard to put into words. It's an experience you got to do for yourself, you know, if you get the chance to,
I'm just honored that we've gotten this opportunity. Such a big thank you goes to Nerd Reactor for, bringing us in on this. A big thank you to our listeners, too. We wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for people actually listening, having opinions, caring.
Yeah.
So. Thank you guys for all the support. We just ask continued support and help us get better. We want to make this show for you. We want to make sure that we get the right information. We still have one day left of E3, so if there's something you really want us to check out, we will do our damnedest to make sure we get to it, as long as it doesn't make us wait in like a six-hour line.
Which there are a lot of
six-hour lines. So we're going to hit the hay. It's been a long day. We'll be back with E3 coverage for day three. Lots of interviews. You want to take us out, Aaron?
See you when I see you.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
What are we doing?
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.